Hello and welcome to Connected episode 496. It's made possible this week by our sponsors, NetSuite and Squarespace. My name is Stephen Hackett, and I have the pleasure of being joined by Mr. Mike Hurley.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
And I have the pleasure of being joined by Federico Vitici. Ciao, Federico.
Buonasera. Hi. Oh, ciao.
Buonasera, Federico.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
We're back.
We're back, but you know what's not back?
iPads.
They're not back. Not happening. They got canceled. They're not happening.
Yeah, the iPad got canceled, actually. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe what the iPad did, you know?
Yeah, true being dead moment for the platform.
Yep. Ugh, yeah. We can't. Yeah.
There's more, another rumor from Mark Gurman or updated reporting that we're now looking at probably May, late April, early May. So we can get off iPad Watch for a while. Are you boys still like waiting for the newsroom? I'll stop now. I'm assuming it's not happening.
So you're saying that new iPads may come out?
Hey, there he goes.
There it is.
Automation.
Y'all doing that again, Federico?
No, not this year.
No, they're not skipping this year. I listened to an app store. It's just like, I think it's a silent protest, or actually not a silent protest, about the state of shortcuts.
Yeah. Okay.
Is what I kind of got from
app stores. Pretty much.
Yep.
Okay. Pretty much.
I'm a little behind.
Automation.
And then it was auto-junation because it just kept going. Yeah, no iPads. Seems like maybe there's some sort of software and hardware, like both ganging up on Apple to make this difficult. I wonder what they've got to do software-wise, unless there's like... At first I was like, well, what feature would it require? I thought, well, maybe like keyboard or trackpad stuff. But then I realized it could be like firmware level stuff to manage the OLED because you've got to handle that differently than the LCD, maybe.
Yeah, because if you remember... When the iPhone 10 came out, there were like these stories, about how I think like they were moving the user interface elements to stop burning. Remember that?
Yeah.
So maybe the stuff like that was just you know, these are the kinds of things that you would have to do to get the operating system ready to handle an OLED screen. It could be stuff like that, or it could just be, as you say, like, we know that new accessories are very likely too. Maybe they just haven't finished getting all of that ready.
Maybe.
But also, there was just issues with getting the OLED panels to a consistent quality level. So
yeah, the iPhone 10 is further in the past than I always think it is. I still think of it as like the new phone, and that thing came out in 2016?
17? Yeah.
2017.
Oh, we're coming up on 10 years since the iPhone 10. Like, it's not super close, but it's not very far away.
Well, it's 7 years, so yeah, getting there.
The iPhone 10 is only 3 years younger than our company. Think about that.
Okay.
I can't really work that out.
It's a very
I see. Yeah. Relay is further away from the iPhone 10 now than it was when we started.
Yeah, or think about it this way. The iPhone 10 is as old as the Nintendo Switch.
Ooh, gross.
Mm. Yeah.
Bad news for the Nintendo Switch.
Well, or bad news for Apple, because Nintendo didn't need to do anything until now, and they have sold a bajillion of them and made all the money you could possibly want to make. So on last week's episode, I was talking about mirroring with the Vision Pro, and I was saying that I couldn't get it to work on my iPad mini. I think, Stephen, you said that they used it in store, and you were right. That is what they used in store. They used the iPad mini. So the iPad mini does work. It just wasn't working for me. And our friend Casey Liss sent in a screenshot on Mastodon. Basically, there are some settings that I might want to enable for why it might not be working. But yeah, so mirroring from a Vision Pro to an iPad mini does work. It just wasn't working for me.
Okay, there you go. You have to make it an AirPlay target, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like I haven't not made it that. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. It's
surprising to me that that doesn't just work because I haven't done anything to anything else, but it's possible that something has been set incorrectly on the device.
You got to throw it in the river and start over.
I mean, maybe.
Federico, you are in the EU.
Yes.
Tell us about AltStore.
So there's a story on The Verge today. They got an exclusive hands-on with the third-party app marketplace version of AltStore. which is the, you know, the popular sort of side-loading quote-unquote store that has long been available on iOS and iPadOS through the sort of non-jailbreak method. And they're launching in the EU a native app marketplace for the iPhone. And the story has a lot of details about like the installation process, what it looks like, all the permission prompts that you're going to get, and sort of some of the apps that, well, actually two of the apps that are being notarized by Apple right now in Alt Store. Delta, which is the Nintendo emulator that the Alt Store folks have been developing for quite some time, and Clip, which is a clipboard manager that can monitor your clipboard in the background using a bunch of native APIs, but in a way that wouldn't get approved on the App Store, but can be released in theory on a third-party marketplace. But so go check out that story if you want to see the screenshots, what it looks like in practice. And I think there's some interesting details that Alt Store is working on right now. For example, Clip, sort of as a way to work around the core technology fee, for example, they're going to integrate with Patreon. So you need to be a Patreon subscriber to Alt Store if you want to get some of these apps, and supposedly that subscription will also cover for the cost of the CTF. So a bunch of interesting ideas.
But then one of the ways that Patreon helps here is you can cap it, right?
Yep.
So
yep,
you can cap it to 1 million patrons or whatever it would be, and that way you don't hit that level if that's the case. Or but also, you know, you can use this model as a way to make sure you have enough money and you can charge people once a year. Da, 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 da. But yes, there are other ways that people can make money on the App Store. And this is, through apps, and Patreon is a very valid way, right, of doing that. And so it's cool that they're integrating that.
Yeah. So I linked to the story, but also in a footnote, I mentioned sort of the weird experience that I'm having right now. So I live in the EU, obviously. I have an Italian iPhone. I have an Italian iCloud account. But I, as you guys know, I have a US App Store account that I set up in 2007, 2008 or something, and I've been using forever. And that was back in the day. It was possible. If you didn't have a debit card or a credit card in the US, you could just create a US App Store account for free. There was a method that allowed you to do that on iTunes without having to provide any other details. And I've been hanging on to that, you know, that App Store account forever. Now, I cannot access any of the DMA EU features at all. That was the case with 17.4. I put the beta of iOS 17.5 on my phone last night, and I still don't have access to any of the EU stuff. I was never shown the browser selection screen. And Riley Tested, one of the founders of Alt Store, tried to send me a beta of Alt Store that I could install on my phone. And after I manually synced using Finder the Alt Store app to my phone, when I tried to open it on my iPhone, iOS says that this device is not eligible to install this app. So I think I must be living in some kind of weird edge case where what I'm doing is not accounted for at the moment. I live in the EU, but I have a US App Store account. And even if I change my region setting to Italy, it doesn't matter. As long as I have that US account, it won't let me access any of the DMA features. And I suppose that this is because Apple only designed a way for the other way around, which is if you are an EU customer and you travel abroad, you have, I believe, a 30-day grace period to keep receiving updates and keep installing apps from third-party marketplaces. But what about my situation where technically I have a US App Store account, but I live in the EU, and it seems like there's no solution right now, and this is what it is. I cannot get access to any of those features as long as I keep that US App Store account in my settings. So kind of a weird situation to be in, because like you could imagine that an American citizen, you know, may want to hold on to their Apple ID if they, you know, move from the US to Europe. And in theory, they become like, what if you buy a house in Europe and you become legally a European citizen, but because you have the US App Store account, you cannot get access to any of those features? It seems like the sort of problem that Apple will have to fix eventually, but there's no fix right now.
I mean, for you to just test this stuff, could you, do you not, do you have like a second iPhone?
I do. I should try.
So you could just do it, right? You could just, I'm sure you have a, I mean, you just have to sign in with your iCloud account, which is European, right?
Yeah.
So you could try it that way. But I mean, honestly, it would surprise me if there was ever a solution for this specific problem. Because I think Apple will just say to you, if you live in Europe, if you want it, change your Apple ID. Like, I don't think that that is I'm not saying that that is a good, you know, way of dealing with it, especially for you. But I think looking at the way that they have approached this so far, I don't think that they're going to care for edge cases that they would fix them unless they were legally told they would have to. And I would also expect that the European Union aren't going to fight this specific point because it's pretty esoteric, right, for the majority of instances, unless there is some other edge case like the one that you mentioned about like it restricting the movement of Europeans or something. I could imagine might be an issue, but be interesting to see how it unfolds, especially if like more than just app stuff gets wrapped into this eventually. Like imagine a scenario where there's some kind of messaging changes that need to happen. Like would that remain the same, that you would lose access to those features if you were to travel and now you can't do X, Y, and Z on your iPhone because you're in some kind of weird limbo?
Yeah, I just think it's kind of weird that it is tied to the App Store account rather than the main Apple ID. I think that's a bit of an odd decision.
How do you get the stores? Do you get them from the App Store?
What do you mean?
So like if you want to download Alt Store, so in this where does case, it come from?
In this case, I was sent a .IPA file.
I'm expecting that Riley won't do that for everyone, though.
No.
Hand-delivered.
I think you will go to a website, and the website will say, hey, this website wants to install a third-party marketplace for you.
Hmm. Right.
It's so weird. It's just, all of this is so new still. It's like that sentence 1 year ago would have sounded bananas, but yeah. Here we are.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm actually going to try this now. I think
you should try it.
Now you've put the doubt in my mind.
I'm convinced it will work when you do that. Because you tick all of the other boxes.
Okay, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to lose my offline music, but whatever. I'm going to do it during
you
the
might
show,
need a right? reboot or something. And like the reason that I feel confident about this, I'm saying right now, is because it's kind of similar to what I'm doing with my Vision Pro. Like I can change in and out. Like today I checked. Like periodically I check to see if like the App Store is up and running in the UK yet, because that would be an indication that they're getting ready to ship it, but like it's still not. Like I try it every couple of weeks or whatever, because I would also desperately like to change over, because I'm having to do this weird dance right now because I have subscriptions that are renewing and I have to keep topping up the gift cards, and it's like a whole thing that I'm finding that I would like to get away from that life, but I have to keep buying things in two places, stuff like that, which is kind of frustrating.
And I guess you can't use some of the cool features, like you get a link to an app on your phone. It's like, oh, download it and it'll be on your Vision Pro next time you put it on. I guess that doesn't work for you.
Yeah, I can't do that. No, yeah. I can't do that. I have to open it in Safari and then check my shared Safari tabs or whatever.
Oh, no.
And also, like, we got to talk about this later on, but we were doing a share play thing earlier and Jason was like, let's watch For Mankind. And I'm like, I can't. Because I don't want to sign up for TV Plus as well as music and Apple Arcade. Like I don't want another one. So like we couldn't watch it because it would want me to sign up for another subscription.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have some real time follow up.
Yes.
I logged in with my Italian App Store account. I force quit Safari, reopened Safari, and now I see about your default browser.
There you go.
So I'm seeing the screen. Opera. Gross is the first choice.
No, what are you gonna choose?
Ooh, Brave.
So Brave.
No, thank you. Safari. Welcome to the App Store.
Whatever. You know, this is the problem.
Opening this app, this is so weird. Opening this app will set it as the default browser. You can always change this later in settings. Open. Okay.
So wait, back he in says Safari. That for Safari too. That's funny.
So what happens if I tap on that weird alt store? Oh, I gotta reinstall it. So I'll do it and I'll let you know in a few minutes.
Excellent. This is great. I love this. This is some real-time follow-up.
It is. It's good. I want to talk briefly about a new Apple AI thing. This has kind of become something that we are following along on the show. Now, Apple released information about a Realm reference resolution as language modeling. Now, there's an article in VentureBeat about this. We also have the link to the PDF in the show notes if you want to read that. I will say a better looking PDF than previous ones, don't you think?
Let me take a look. I haven't looked at the PDF yet. I just read the VentureBeat article. It looks like, yeah, there's some better formatting in this one.
Yeah.
Like they have images that actually fit within the columns this time rather than just being like random all over the place.
The large language model is listening to connected and implementing changes. In a nutshell, what this model aims to do is to understand context and reference based on what a user is seeing on their screen. So it can view what's on your computer, iPad, iPhone, whatever, I guess. And then that lets the user ask it questions based on what the user is seeing. Some of the examples in the PDF are like pretty straightforward. Like I'm looking at a website and I say, hey, call this restaurant. And it finds the phone number in the footer of the restaurant website. Yeah. And it could make that phone call for you.
Okay.
That I think is pretty clever. Like assistants should know what's going on your device. I think there's also a huge accessibility story here where, and Apple already has a lot of great stuff in VoiceOver and their controls by voice, but layering this on top of it could be really interesting as well.
Well, how amazing would it be to be able to provide VoiceOver and with developers not actually needing to do anything anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Because especially out on the web, a lot of websites don't have proper markup for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that could be, it could be really interesting. But there's a quote in here that just kind of blew me away. So this is a quote from the PDF. We demonstrate large improvements over an existing system with similar functionality across different types of references, with our smallest model obtaining absolute gains of 5%, of over 5% for on-screen references. Here's the sentence. Our larger models substantially outperform GPT-4.
Substantially?
Substantially.
How large is that model, though?
Well,
right.
We don't know the relative size of the models. And reading in context, it seems like they're talking about what GPT-4 can do in this arena. I almost said realm, but that's the name of the model. That would have been confusing.
Yeah,
in the realm of
that one
of using what's on display for context and reference. So like that sentence, you know, that's probably very finely cut. But if Apple thinks they're playing at the level of OpenAI in some of these areas, that's super interesting. And I think this model, like out of all the things we've talked about, like editing images, the language and text tools, this is the one that so far I'm most excited about. That an assistant or a model could have the context of what I'm working on without me having to like copy a bunch of stuff and dump it into a website and like, hey, figure this out. Like it knows what I'm looking at and with permission, and I guarantee there'll be strict permissions around this that the system could do things. And Federico, you pointed out that Apple's already been playing with this a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, for the past few years. So, first, I don't remember, was it iOS 11 or something, like, but really going way back, they rolled out the very rudimentary integration with Siri. How you used to be able, like the first version was only integrated, I believe, with reminders. So you could say, hey, assistant, remind me about this. And the this was whatever was on screen. And they were using, I believe, a combination of the NS User Activity API to capture what you were looking at. And that allowed Siri to, and of course, Siri just activated on my watch, that allowed Siri to save a reminder for what you were looking at. So, for example, a web page with a little icon that was a deep link to the page that you were looking at. And that worked with any compatible apps. So Apple Maps, for example, allowed you to save locations. Apps that had sort of deep linking support, they all integrated with it. And then a few years ago, they rolled out in Shortcuts and Siri at the same time, of course, the Get What's On Screen action. This is an integration that you can use right now in Shortcuts. It never worked quite reliably. Like sometimes it just doesn't get what's on screen. Mostly I tried using it with Safari on iOS and iPadOS because in the iPhone version of Safari, you can do what you can do on the Mac where you can just say, hey, get the current web page in Safari. And instead, if you use the get what's on screen action, you can get the link of the page by having the intelligence, whatever, determine what's on screen. So this is a very primitive implementation of something that sounds much, much fancier in this paper, and that I really hope Apple gets right, because it could be obviously one of the key differentiators here compared to ChatGPT. You know, just process whatever is on screen, which is in fact pretty much what the X workflow folks and Shortcuts folks are working on pretty much at the moment with their startup.
The reason I was wondering about like the size of this model compared to the small model compared to ChatGPT or whatever, is this is the type of thing that I would want to be running locally if I was going to be using this efficiently and also with what I would want to be privacy, you know? Like I wouldn't want those queries to be going off to the cloud.
I wonder if that's what is behind Apple's language of our smallest model is over 5% gains, the larger models substantially outperform. Like maybe there will be like a two-step function of this where you can say, I always want this type of work done on a device, but there's a toggle somewhere of like, if I want more power, go to the cloud. I agree with you. Something like this I want on device, I think, but maybe there's going to be some sort of sliding scale of what you can do. Or maybe it'll be something like the Whisper transcription tools. Like I know Mac Whisper and a couple other apps have kind of been built to wrap around that. And in Mac Whisper, you can set what model you're using, and the trade-off is space on disk. It like downloads the model, and the big one is enormous. And so maybe that's a way Apple could do this of like, it's all on device and you kind of pick how powerful you want it to be based on the space or the level of performance your device has. I don't know. That's a big question for me.
But also the big models can always get smaller, right? Like the efficiencies and the accuracy of larger models changes over time, right? And smaller models get more accurate because they get smarter at being able to understand the same thing with a less amount of input. So like, you know, this can be like an ongoing, or will be, I'm sure, an ongoing project where they want to try and make the small model as good as the large model. And it really is just a case of time, it feels like, for a lot of this stuff now. So, yeah, I continue to remain, I'm not trying to find the word, like I'm pleased about the fact that they're continuing to publish work, which suggests that they're working very hard at this stuff, which I think Apple really, really should be working very hard at this stuff. And so I'm pleased to see it. You love to see it, as they say.
Love to see it. We've got new betas, iOS 17.5, iPadOS 17.5. What's going on here? I haven't played with these yet.
Sorry, there's a bit of everything. Like, there's new betas for everything. You know, there's also the watch, there's also Vision OS, everything's incremented by one. I think seems like the biggest thing in iOS 17.5 is sideloading, so the ability to install apps from the web, which is not currently in 0.4. 9to5 Mac also found code that this version could enable the work that Apple and Google have been doing about tracking devices. So Apple and Google have worked together to try and help create an overall picture of all of the types of devices that people could use, like an AirTag or, you know, a Tile or a tracker, like those, or competing things, to help people who they're effectively being used on as a stalking device. And so this code in iOS would seem to be able to can indicate if there is a device that is tracking you, even if it's not in the Find My network. It can't help you get rid of it, but they can indicate to you, this is this type of device, this is where you can go to disable this. Like, this is how this device can be disabled. Like, it can point you in the right direction. And it's doing that through, I'm sure, a lot of complicated stuff around Bluetooth and how Bluetooth is tracking. And really, Google and Apple are able to work together to share this information. I expect it'll be some kind of like ongoing list that they're adding to, you know, where they can try and detect these types of devices. So that's cool. And iPadOS 17.5, Lantify also found code that indicates the next Apple Pencil will include a, quote, squeeze gesture. I'll read from the article. The gesture can be used for quick interactions such as adding shapes, signatures, stickers, or a text field. Presumably, the gesture will be triggered by pressing the Apple Pencil surface.
Squeeze to draw.
Squeeze to something. It's not what I want. I want buttons. I want, like, an squeeze actual button. Squeeze to erase. Like, tapping, squeezing, just put a button on it. And maybe it will be, like, in essence, a button, but you squeeze the button like it's solid state or something.
It makes sense, right? You squeeze your AirPods already. They don't call it squeeze, right, on the AirPods. What do they
call
it?
What, I don't know what they call it.
Press?
Press? No. Hold, squeeze, and press? I don't know.
AirPods, bro.
Embrace. Hold, I think squeeze. Embrace is the verb.
Squeeze. You're not embracing your AirPods.
It's like a tiny embrace.
It's. they don't say squeeze.
Well, hang on. We have that PDF.
Press. They just say press.
Press. Okay. I was going to look it up in the style guide.
Press the touch control.
Press doesn't feel right because you don't press it, do you? Like, you press you with a finger. You
pinch it or something.
Squeeze it, pinch it, push it.
Maybe you're only pressing on one side and the other finger needs to be there so it doesn't pop out of your ear. So
yeah, but that's a squeeze.
It feels like
that's
squeezing.
That's a squeeze. That's not a press.
Hmm. Well, so there's going to be a new Apple Pencil with the new iPads, and you're going to squeeze them. So that's cool. I mean, it sounds like they're going to have this new gesture, and you're going to be able to configure it to whatever you want. That's, you know, knowing Apple, there's going to be an option in settings, and whatever they're going to call this, like press the pencil, whatever, or pinch the pencil, you will be able to assign like a shortcut to it. That would be my guess.
Press. Yes, I found it on the web, on like, I've been scouring the apple.com AirPods page, and here it says, and press twice to end a call. So it's pressing.
Mm-hmm. Press.
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 So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more into one platform with one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud. That means there's no hardware required, and it can be accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You get to improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and you'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Finding ways to cut costs and boost business performance is more important than ever, and NetSuite is a great way to do that. We've been looking at a bunch of those things in our own businesses. Everyone has. And if that's you, go check out NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financial program. Head on over to netsuite.com/connected. That's NetSuite, NetSuite. netsuite.com/connected. Our thanks to NetSuite for their support of the show and Relay FM.
All right, it is time for our favorite result of the DMA. The Teach Italian segment.
Buongiorno, professor.
Today, we are going to learn the verb to be. We're going to learn how to conjugate the verb to be with the different types of persons that we need to try with the Italian language. So last week we did the pronouns, and today we're going to combine those pronouns with the verb to be. So you can say I am, you are, and so forth. So I'm gonna read the Italian versions first. But first, a disclaimer. You should know that unlike the English language, where you have the sort of the main form of a verb. Well, no, I guess there are irregular verbs in English too. So disregard what I was about to say. The verb to be also is an irregular verb in Italian, which is to say it changes form depending on the tense and the pronoun. So I am is io sono. You are is tu sei. He, she, they, you know, the third person is lui o lei, è, or if you're using the singular they, loro sono.
I'm lost.
We'll get to.
I don't even really know what we're doing anymore. We'll what's to be? Like, what do you mean?
Like, can you,
he to be, am, she to be, they to be.
I am. You
be
are.
To be.
He is. We are. You are. They are.
Airbnb.
Very simple.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
I get where you, yeah.
All right.
To be conceptually.
It's to conceptually be. The verb to be. You know, I am Mike. Like, what if you need to say, I am
right.
Mike? How would you say? You would say, io sono Mike.
Yeah. So, again, like in Romanian, it would be, it's sunt.
Yes.
So, there you go.
Yes. That is pretty much like Latin, actually. Mm-hmm.
It's sunt. It's a Latin language.
Yeah. Wow. So, let's try with the first three, all right? With the first three pronouns, and we start with I am, or in Italian, io, which we learned last week, sono.
Io sono.
Yes.
Io sono.
Okay. Tu sei.
Tu sei.
Tu sei.
Good. So here, you will learn when we do the numbers that in the Italian language, the same word can have different meanings. In this case, sei, it could either mean like you are, but the word sei is also the word for the number six. It's the same word. It's the same word, but this is what we do sometimes in the Italian language. The same word, depending on context, can have different meanings. So if you say you are, you're not saying you six. You're saying, you know, you are. Like if you say...
Well, how would you say you six are?
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's like you six are going to the store, right? So you've said, like, there's like seven people.
Well,
you're pointing at six and I'm like, you six, get out of here.
Well, you wouldn't say two. You would say voi, which is the plural
like
version.
Like the plural of you.
And there's a plural version of that. It's not sei, it's siete, which we'll get to in a minute.
Because it's six, but you're, like the word six, but you're because you're addressing an individual,
exactly.
It's not going to conflict. Okay.
Exactly. Right. You're addressing a singular individual.
Right.
So in the Italian language, some words spelled the same way, pronounced the same way, they have different meanings. Sometimes the same word can be written down exactly the same, but we have phonetic accents that change the sound of the word. So this is not part of today's lesson, but for example, the word pesca, when I say it like this, pesca, it means...
Is that fish?
No, it's peach, the fruit.
Oh,
but if so pesca, with the open, like pesca, like that, it means the peach. If I say pesca, right? You hear the sound. It's like a tighter sound. That means fishing.
But
it's written down the same way.
Huh. So I was close though, right?
You were close.
What is fish? How do you say fish?
Pesce.
Yeah. So I was in the right ballpark.
Teach.
Yeah. I was in the right
peach to fish.
Park.
Yeah. But back to the pronouns and back to the pronoun. So io sono, tu sei. Now we do the third person. So when we do the gendered person, lui or lei, as we learned last week, And this is the accented E letter. E.
Yep.
E.
Oh, okay. Louis. So like,
e.
Yep.
Is it like Louis e sono?
No, no. So if you're saying Louis or lei, so that would be yep. he and she, you yep. say e. Louis e or lei
oh,
e.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it. All right. Lei yep. e.
Or if you're using the singular they, so as we learned, it's loro, you would say loro sono.
Loro sono.
Loro sono. Yep.
Now we do the first person plural. We, as we learned, it's noi.
Uh-huh.
And the verb is siamo.
Oh.
Noi siamo.
Noi siamo.
Noi siamo. Yeah.
Not siamo, siamo.
My favorite thing about this segment is how Stephen gets quieter and quieter.
Yeah.
The further we go, I imagine he's just walking away from his computer. Like he's just like on the other side of the room.
Something that you will learn as you guys start formulating sentences.
As obviously we will. Yeah. We're definitely going to get to that.
I think you will. I think you will. You will try a very short sentence today. Verbs, they always end in kind of in the same way. So, for example, when you say a verb and the pronoun is we, in this case, we said noi siamo. But if I were to say we eat, right? Like we eat pasta, for example, I would say noi mangiamo. So you hear how it always ends with the same sound? Siamo, yeah. mangiamo. It always ends like that.
Tomato. And,
I yes. love how similar. So to eat in Romanian is mănânc.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I love this. I'm really enjoying as I'm learning Romanian.
The similarities. Like
understanding the similarities between Romanian and Italian. Because whenever we have been to Italy, Adina can kind of just get by. Like she can work out. She can't speak it, but she can understand what people are saying to
I
her.
Believe
like,
one of, well, I believe one of the words she knew was mangiare, which is to eat, of yeah. course. She knew that word.
It's an easy one because yeah. now I can recognize it too.
Yeah. So you are, it's voi siete.
Voi siete.
Yep. Steven is just gone.
Say it again.
Just left.
Voi siete.
Voi siete.
Yep. And finally again, third person plural, loro sono.
Loro sono.
Loro sono.
Yep.
So that's
Mike,
the same.
Mike, you actually made a pretty good sound for the letter R. Yeah.
Oh, good. They're all completely accidental. So this is because, again, like we were talking about earlier, and it's, I guess this is contextual, right? It's the same as in English because we did, it's the two theys, but it's the same word.
Yeah,
right?
The two theys are yeah. the same, yes. So very simple sentence. I want you to say, I am Mike or I am Steven. So how would you say it?
Would I be, yo sono Mike?
Yep.
La sono Esteban.
I don't know what he did. Well, it's just a different thing.
If you were to go for an Italian version of your name, you would say io sono Stefano.
Stefano. Oh.
Not Stefano. Stefano.
Stefano.
Stefano.
Is there an Italian Michael?
Michele.
Michele. Io sono Michele.
Yes.
Yes, baby. I love it.
And that's Let's it go. For today.
That's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
So wait, just one last thing. You're like, it would be tu sei Federico, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've had a fun 24 hours out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere, like a Trojan horse. Apple enabled spatial personas. Now, this is something that we've seen a little bit of at WWDC. Apple published like some imagery of what a spatial persona would look like in a FaceTime call. So currently, we know what personas are. People have seen them by now. It is the 3D representation of your face that when you wear a Vision Pro, people will see as a FaceTime call. And they've been in boxes previously when you're on a call, but this is breaking the persona out of the box. They are now, you see a head, part of shoulders and people's hands. They are positioned in a space with you, and you. It feels like you know this. You know you can have calls with people. When you're FaceTiming, it moves them from opposite you to next to you. So you're looking at the like if you're doing sorry like share play in FaceTime, so you can look at say a TV screen together or something. So very different, but Apple enabled this in just all of a sudden. It's been in 1.1 and it maybe took a reboot of a Vision Pro, but now when you're on a FaceTime call, there's a new button that you can press and it turns on spatial personas. We have done some individual calls. Me and Stephen were part of a 5-person call today as well. And you can do things from just having a conversation with people to playing games. We've all played Battleship, which is part of the Game Room game, which is an Apple Arcade, which was a really great experience. Yeah. Well, Stephen, what do you think about all of this?
I think it's fascinating. It really changes the sense of presence when someone goes from floating in a gray box to being more three-dimensional. And Apple's doing some stuff to really make that fun. Like if someone stands up and you're sitting down, they're taller than you. If someone turns, you see kind of like, you don't see the back of their head, right? The persona doesn't capture that, but you kind of see them turn. It feels much more real in a way that I honestly did not expect. That's not to say it's goofy and like weird things happen. Like the top image in my blog post is Jason coming through my home view on my Vision Pro while on the moon. It's like a very funny image, but the sense of presence is really cool. And they adjust how it works depending on what you're doing. So if I just call somebody and we're in our spatial personas, that person is across from me. We're like looking at each other. But then if we go into a share play experience, say we're going to watch something on Apple TV Plus or have like a freeform board or something like that, then suddenly we're sitting side by side. And it's like we're looking at the document together, like from the same perspective. We're watching a movie, we're in a theater side by side. It's really compelling in a way that honestly I did not expect and caught me a little off guard.
And of course they're doing a great job of spatial audio as well, right?
Yes.
So as like they are moving people around, which they do depending on what you're doing, right? Like if you're just talking to people, they kind of arrange you in a circle. Like the first person is facing you, and then as more people join, it kind of like shifts them around to you're in a circle. There's a maximum of 5 people that can be on a call. That as people are moving, whether you're talking to them head on or they're moving to be next to you in a plane because you're looking at a screen together with SharePlay, it changes where they are. So you know where to look because you can hear them. They're right next to you. So this combination of SharePlay and spatial audio, like there is a really good question of which came first with these. Was this stuff made for Vision Pro, or have they just taken these technologies and made them work really well with Vision Pro? It's hard to tell sometimes with Apple, but this is one of those scenarios where it feels like a lot of their component parts have come together to create something which is like I was in this call today with the guys, and there were 5 of us, and like it felt like to me, this is the reason to buy a Vision Pro, because I felt today that I was just hanging out with my buds for a bit, and like,
yeah.
It was very compelling, very, very, very compelling. More than any other type of VR experience I've had like this, where you're trying to like spend time in a shared space. It was really, 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 really good.
I was very impressed by it. I thought it was going to be a gimmicky thing for like a couple of minutes. But the more we spent, like it, Mike and I, we played the session of Battleship with Game Room. And it did feel like I was just hanging out with Mike for 15 minutes and we played a game. And like the sense of presence and like the sort of the virtual physicality of it in a way, like how for example I had to like look over the board of the game if I wanted to see Mike's face, like which is something that I would do in real life. If that object was physically in front of me, I would have to do that, and I had to do that for something that didn't exist in the physical space at all, but it kind of did in the Vision Pro space. That felt like It felt credible. It felt like something that you know, what if I want to just hang out with Mike and talk about, you know, talking about podcasts or whatever and get some work done for like half an hour? It would be so much better than to do the same in a Zoom window, you know, where we're looking at our faces in the webcam. And like, I don't know, it just felt less isolating, and it felt very nice.
It was really great.
Yeah. I also tried to put my finger in Mike's mouth.
Yes, that's the first thing you tried to do. So I kind of put my finger in your mouth and I said, you can try. And as soon as he did it, my head disappeared. So
yeah.
I think Apple has quite rightly, like you can touch hands, yes, but you can't touch somebody's face.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they kind of disappear. They're like a ghost or something. Mm-hmm. And also when, if you get, I wanted to like kiss Mike on the forehead, but like
which when I would have loved.
But when I get close, your face disappears. So that unfortunately cannot be done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the fact that the personas are rearranged in the workspace depending on the share play experience, I think that is also very fascinating. So you could imagine how different types of 3D objects in the what's it called, like the full space, like what's it called when you're using a 3D thing in Vision OS? Anyway, like how it rearranges
the environment.
No, like there's a proper terminology for like the space when you're using a 3D experience. But whatever, okay. You get what I mean. Like, so how it rearranges effectively like the heads of the personas depending on the 3D object. I thought that was very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all really well thought out, and it's something that Apple talked about in June. And clearly they needed a little more time to get it ready. But, you know, Federico, it's interesting. It's interesting to hear y'all have the same reaction I did, that it really is impactful. In fact, after our big group call today, I ran inside to get a bottle of water and, like, say hi to Mary before we sat down to record. And I told her, I was like, this sounds ridiculous, but, like, if the prices came down and, like, my work changed where I was on the road a lot, like I was before COVID, like, this would be a great way to like communicate, like if I wasn't home a bunch, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the only reason to get a Vision Pro, but this is now the top of my list, my relatively short list of like reasons to consider one of these things, because the sense of presence really is something that is hard to convey. Like when Mike stood up, I was sitting on the couch in my office, and you stood up and you were taller than me, like it felt like you were looking down at me. Like there's a screenshot in my blog post where, like, we all put our hands in the middle. It's like we're playing the Hokey Pokey. Like, it's really weird how your brain sort of latches onto this. Now, is it lifelike? No, like,
it's not,
you know,
enough,
but it's
is,
enough
in my opinion.
It's enough. Would I like to have arms at some point instead of just hands? Yeah. Would I like my hands to look like my actual hands? Yeah. But for where we are, you know, 3 months into this thing, it's compelling.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of years down the road, they're probably going to do a full body scan, right? And you're going to have a proper realistic 3D avatar.
Yeah, I mean, you might not need a full body scan, though.
No, but right? Imagine, like, if you were actually sitting next to me.
No, but like, they could create
a
version,
yes.
Right?
they should... Mike, have you played Dragon's Dogma at all?
I haven't.
So they have this incredible character creator that I think is the best character creator I've ever seen in a video game. Mm-hmm. And like, I could imagine something like that in Vision OS, like where you're scanning your face and your hands, but then if you want to create your body and like pick a different outfit or whatever, you would have like a little video game character creation screen or something, which is sort of like what they have with the Memoji in a way. But yeah. Imagine that, but for a realistic avatar. That would be cool.
It would be really cool. Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. Clearly this is what they wanted to ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so much better than just talking to the personas as they were when it shipped. It's like, to me, like, this is obvious that this is what they wanted this to be from the beginning. But it's... Now that it's here, like, I'm very much struck by, like, oh man, I would love to be able to do this as a regular thing with my friends, and we can just hang out. Yeah. And, you know, like, it's funny that you said that about we're talking to Mary, Stephen, because I know that obviously she has been quite against the idea, right? Just in general, like, she doesn't like the Vision Pro. You had said before that she thought it was kind of strange, but this is how you start to get people, right? It's stuff like this, where now you're like, oh no, like, I think you would dig this, and then maybe she would try it when you'd be on the road and be like, okay, I still think this thing is kind of silly, but this is a really cool use case. And like, these are the things that you kind of like start stacking these up over time, and they become reasons for people to adopt this technology. And that's how it kind of like proliferates, right? It's kind of interesting that even you would suggest that to her.
Yeah. It, not something I would have done before.
No.
Before this.
No.
This episode of Connected is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, you can stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything, products, services, and even content. Because Squarespace has everything you need all in one place, all on your terms. Their Blueprint AI and SEO tools make it super easy to get started. You can start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up. This is tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then easily launch your website and just get discovered quickly with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way that you want. And you can integrate flexible payments if you have a store as part of your website. Checkout is seamless for customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. Kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI, generating instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get, either short or long-form text. No matter the placement, Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online. I love building on Squarespace, and I love these new tools. Being able to more quickly, more efficiently build a site, get content on that site is really awesome. And it's all built in. You're not hopping around to a bunch of different services. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/connected to save 10% off a first purchase of a website or domain. Once again, that's squarespace.com/connected when you decide to sign up to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for Connected, your favorite podcast. Our thanks to Squarespace for the support of the show and Relay FM.
So Federico's out here. He's out here, you know, he's doing his thing. He's living his life. He's hacking and slashing now with the Vision Pro. How are you enjoying your Etsy purchases, Federico?
I am loving them. I have one final delivery on the way from John.
I heard
Boris.
About this. John told me about this earlier. I don't know what it is, but he's like, I'm posting again for Federico.
It's an alternative to the air cover. Okay. Which is a similar product. We'll see if it's more comfortable or not. But yeah, so I posted last week on Mac Stories about how I'm using the Vision Pro without a light seal and with the two sort of like solo knit bands. That's the setup that I'm using right now. I'm basically don't have a light seal. I'm using this accessory called the Air Cover, which makes the Vision Pro sort of rest on my forehead so that I can use it without the light seal that blocks, you know, the light from all sides. And
this reminds me of how the PSVR would sit, right? Like kind of like on your forehead and then almost like suspend the thing in front of you.
Yeah. It's basically suspended in front of my eyes. Of course, it's using the two bands, which I've been doing for the past month. I'm using this adapter. I've tried a lot of adapters, like literally every single one on Etsy. And the best one, if anybody is interested in this sort of product, the best one is the Solo Top that you can get from Etsy. A really good high quality print on this one. Feels much better than other 3D printed objects that I've tried. And it fits in perfectly with the Vision Pro audio straps. And there's even a, like a version for the developer strap, if you want to get that. So the two bands, you know, the one in the back of the head and the one on top of the head, it's so comfortable as a system. I believe that John, One True John, is also now a believer. And it's very, very comfortable. And it's sort of it confirmed how much I love this band design from Apple. Like how easy it is to put it on, how accessible really it is to adjust, you know, just by turning the dial. Like it doesn't require all the fiddling of, for example, the dual loop strap. It's very easy to put on and adjust. And having one at the top of the head looks kind of ridiculous, but boy, is it comfortable. It's really, really comfortable. And I basically don't feel the Vision Pro on my face, like my cheekbones or my nose anymore with this system. And the other realization that I've had over the past month was that the Vision Pro made me realize that I'm not really a VR guy, but I am so on board with AR and sort of the mixed reality approach. Like, I never spend time in environment. I always like to keep an eye on what is going on around me, whether it's like my dogs or if Sylvia is at home, or I use the Vision Pro at night a lot. And I just like to see that, you know, Sylvia is sleeping and that the dogs are sleeping and that nothing is going on. I just like to be aware all the time, which I understand why for a lot of people, this is like the opposite of why they got a Vision Pro, because they want to be immersed. They want to shut out the outside world. And I understand that. But for me, I just want to use this AR product from Apple. You know, I'm in pass-through mode all the time. And for that reason, I think it made more sense for me to get this accessory, the Air Cover, and basically use the Vision Pro as an AR/MR accessory.
What is it like if you do use an environment, though? Like, obviously they work.
Well, you
still
see the environments, but then you see also, like, because you have real peripheral vision, right?
Yeah.
The environment, you can actually look, you know, at the... It wraps around you, but there are basically on the left and right two holes in your peripheral vision. Yeah. And so it kind of... I mean, you can, so this is something that I've done. You can set up the environment in front of you and it kind of serves as a nice wallpaper of sorts. Like, I don't want to see my kitchen or I don't want to see my living room. I'm just going to dial in the environment, but it's not going to create that illusion of, I mean, I'm on the moon, I'm by a lake or something. It just creates a nicer backdrop. That's what it does.
When you're looking at the pass-through and you have peripheral vision,
yeah,
do they match up?
No, very good question. They'd mostly match up, but the one way to realize that they don't match up actually is to hold, like for example, a finger really close to your face. And in your peripheral vision, you see that the finger is at a certain distance. In the Vision Pro pass-through, you see that it's like more zoomed in or something. Like you get different proportions. Like there's like a different distance. If I hold my index finger right next to my left eye, for example, and I look at it with actual peripheral vision, I see that it's at a certain distance. If I look at it from the pass-through, it's at a different distance. But this is not something that... Like, you only notice this if you're looking at objects that are both within the peripheral vision field and in the pass-through field. So, like, the same thing, you can see it in two different ways at the same time. But otherwise, it's not a problem. Because, like, if I'm staring at my desk or something, I'm only looking at my desk from the pass-through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the what do you call it? The dual solo loop. Bands.
Yeah.
What I'm struggling to understand the benefit of that over the dual loop. Like,
okay.
Take adjustment out of the equation, right?
Well,
never adjust it. Right.
Oh, like, interesting.
So I never adjust the dual loop because I just take it off and put it on again. Outside of adjustment, does it provide you other benefits?
Well, I think it's more comfortable because it's larger. And so it's okay. got like a wider surface area that like sits on your head.
Okay.
I just, that, the fact that it's wider makes it more comfortable. And right. I could never do what you just said, like never adjust the dual loop.
You couldn't find it.
I couldn't fit it right. And I just, I love so much how you can just turn a dial to adjust the band.
It is cool that you don't, because when you do adjust the dual loop, the problem is it's very hard to actually make that adjustment. It's hard to do it because you've kind of got to pull and then you've got to like wrap the Velcro back around again. It's like a Velcro system where the loop band, you just keep tightening it until it's tight, right? Like,
but you're not looking at your head. And you're not looking at it. So you need to go for it like by feeling it. And I thought that was very uncomfortable. And
I don't understand though why they have not and did not ship my kind of like grail band, which was the one that we used at WWDC.
Me neither. I don't get it.
Which is the solo loop on the back. No, you can't. I tried. You would have to destroy.
You would have to destroy or really seriously modify the dual loop by like cutting it and sort of re-knitting it yourself.
Okay. Yeah, because it was one fixture, right? That went into like the side of the Vision Pro, and it had the two pieces. I just don't understand. Like, as you pointed out in your article, Federico, it's still in the imagery on the website. Like it's in the original marketing video.
Yeah, in the original market. Well, they replaced the images, I think, actually, and the frames in the videos. I think they did it like a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, they did that.
If Federico, if someone wanted to go down this road, like say they just bought this thing on Etsy,
yeah,
and his name was Steven, what should the sizing be? In relation to the knit solo knit band that goes around the back of your head versus the top of your head. Like, I think mine is a medium. Should I get another medium?
No, you should get one size smaller for the top of your head. So I have medium in the back and S size on the top.
Okay.
That's how typically, I guess, how human heads tend to be shaped.
Yeah, unless you have like a tall head. And then
You have a tall head. I don't think you have a tall head.
I think it's pretty...
For your type of haircut, also, I think you should get like a one size smaller for the top. Okay. I tried with the same size. I tried with the M, and it was too loose. And you want that top band to sort of balance the Vision Pro on your head, so that you don't feel the pressure like on your face anymore.
Okay.
Are you able to just buy the bands without like needing to go through a whole thing? Yeah. Like, you know, with the lights, you can just buy the
bands. They're very expensive.
It's $100.
Yeah.
I'm
doing it right now.
Yeah. So the solo top and another band is like highly recommended. And then the air cover accessory, which I believe was restocked this week, but they frequently run out of stock. That's optional. Like, it really depends if you want to use the Vision Pro as a VR headset. Like, then keep using the light steel. Add a secondary band and you're gonna love it. But if you wanna do the extra, you know, if you wanna go the extra mile and are interested in the idea of removing the light seal, I would highly recommend that you do get one of these accessories. One is the air cover, which is the one that I'm using. There's another one which I'm waiting for it to arrive. I believe it's called the Vision Pro Open Face System or something like that. It's on Etsy.
Names.
That one is on Etsy, and so it's probably easier to buy. The Infinity One, the makers of the air cover, I believe it's a Spain-based company, so you got to account for shipping and all of that. And they frequently run out of stock. On Etsy, you will find the Open Face System, but it's a similar product, but I have not tested it yet.
Open Face System. Can we just consider that phrase for a second?
I know.
Open Face System.
It's like Open AI.
Let me confirm. I have a screenshot from John. It's the Open Face System.
Open Face System.
Yep.
I really do love the way that people spring up these little businesses. I find it so inspiring. Like, there is such a tiny market, you know? And they're just really going for it. Like, I'm looking at this page now. They have also the Bobo VR Mi Plus Ink front pad and Bobo VR adapters, in case you want that.
Yeah, the Bobo VR adapters are pretty popular with some Quest users, I think.
It's a Bobo VR strap, but they've created an adapter for the Vision Pro that works with the Bobo VR strap.
Bobo VR.
Man, these people are incredible.
To give you some context, I literally tried all of the... Stephen, you just posted that in Discord.
The comfy top. Yeah, I was going to see if you use this. I've tried it.
I have the comfy top. It's all right, but I'm not a fan because it requires using the light seal. So for context, this is a thing that lets you put a second band, like a second solo knit band on the top of your head, but vertically.
Yeah, front to back as opposed to side to side.
It's kind of weird, and I didn't love how you need to put the plastic clip sort of like fit it in between the light seal and the cushion.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's kind of awkward. I tried that. I tried all of the other adapters, and I settled on the solo top. I also tried this other adapter by a company called VR Panda. It's real name of real company. They make sort of like this... I don't even know how to describe it. I believe it's called the Halo strap. It's called the half circle Halo strap for the Vision Pro. So it's like this. No, I didn't try. I'm sorry. I didn't try the Halo strap. I tried something that goes like in the back of your head, and it's like a giant cushion that you put basically above your neck. let me see if I can find the link. It was all right, but also not a huge fan. And the system that I wrote about, that I settled on, I've been using this for basically the past month, and I haven't changed it at all. And that's what I recommend. The comfort module, that's what I tried from VR Panda, and you can get it in orange, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna put a link in Discord,
and that will be in the show notes. Here's Federico, you just need to get a 3D printer, man. Like, you should get a 3D printer, I think.
Because
surely most of these things you can just buy the print file, and then you don't have to deal with the whole file. Like place to place to place to place, and you can put it in your garage or whatever.
I should probably do it at some point. I will consider it because you can't buy the files,
because all these mods that you do, like, because clearly you're in this world now, right? Like, you are, I mean, you've been mod curious, now you're like full on mod. That's you're a full on mod. You're always modern, left, right, and center. And so I figured, speak to Stephen. He knows about VR. He 3D printing. And I think you should do it.
Yeah. And like the final thing I wanted to say is that doing this, like I said, I wrote about it, but I have been using it for a few weeks. And I'm looking at my Vision Pro right now. It's still what I'm using. It makes me use the Vision Pro a lot more. And it makes me enjoy the Vision Pro a lot more. Because I figured that, before the Vision Pro announcement, when it became clear that Apple was going to do a VR headset, but if you go back to a few years ago, we were all really excited about the idea of Apple doing glasses, like actual glasses. And then we understood that product is still pretty much a ways out. But these accessories, they let me use the Vision Pro as basically giant, heavy, really thick glasses without the light seal. And that's what I wanted. Like, I want to have something that is in AR mode all the time, in pass-through mode all the time. And that's the product I wanted. I think the environments and the immersive video, like all that stuff is fun. But mostly, I just want to use this thing as a computer. And if I want to use it as a computer every afternoon when I'm working, I want to be in pass-through mode. And I don't want to be isolated. And using it like this, it makes me enjoy like the purchase a lot more. And ultimately, you gotta be happy with something that you buy, especially something that is so expensive. And so I think I found a way to be happier than I was with the light seal.
I love it. I love that you're tinkering with it. I ordered some stuff. I'm gonna try the dual solo knit band.
Nice.
The clips you need, there's a different version. I think you mentioned this for the, if you're using the developer strap or not.
It's that's the Solo Top Dev, which I have because I do have a developer strap hoping that eventually it'll get more functionalities than what it basically right now. It does nothing. So if Apple ever allows for like Thunderbolt devices or Ethernet, I'm gonna go back to using the developer strap every day. Right now, I'm just back to the regular straps.
Same. I had it on for a little while doing some stuff in WidgetSmith, and it was like, if you're not using it, it just gets in the way. And I even tried, exactly. like, what if I got like a little piece of Velcro and like, so it wasn't flapping around, and I just ended up swapping it back. But it's like having that thing may learn some new tricks at some point.
It's like having a weird tech ponytail, but like on the side of your head.
That's a side pony.
Side pony.
I got my side pony dongle.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when it's just flapping around like that and you're not using it. And even when you are using it, what it does, it's like, it's maybe faster when you're taking screenshots with Reality Composer, but like Wi-Fi also works. So whatever.
Yeah. And it you're jumping through some hoops, but it does work. Well, I think that does it for this week. If you want to read more about some of the stuff we talked about, check out the notes. They're in your podcast player. They're also on the web at relay.fm/connected/496. While you're in either one of those places, a couple of links I want to draw your attention to. The first is our feedback submission form. You can send feedback or follow-up. You can do it anonymously as well through our website. Go check that out. And you can also become a member and get Connected Pro, which is the longer ad-free version of the show that we do each and every week. Whole different things happen in the Pro show. But members also get access to a bunch of cool stuff from Relay FM, our network, including access to our Discord for members, a monthly newsletter, a couple of members-only podcasts each month. It's a great value. Starts at $7 a month or $70 a year. Go check it out. We would love to have your support. You can also find us out on the internet. You can find Federico. He's the editor-in-chief of MacStories.net. You can find him on social media as Vitici on Threads. And Vitici, that's V-I-T-I-C-C-I, at MacStories.net on Mastodon. Mike works on a whole bunch of stuff across the network. He also does amazing work over at Cortex Brand. You can find him on Threads as iMike and on Mastodon as iMike at Mike.social. You can find me on Mac Power Users each and every Sunday afternoon here on Relay. You can find my writing at 512pixels.net, and you can follow me ismh86 on Threads and ismh at eworld.social on Mastodon. I'd like to thank our sponsors this week, NetSuite and Squarespace, for making the episode possible. Thanks to our members, and until next time, say goodbye.
Arrivederci.
Cheerio.
Bye, y'all.